I'll turn once again in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I've made a couple of changes to the message since this morning. I've changed the title and I've changed the outline. So quite a bit of changing. So the new title that I gave you, a different title this morning for verses 30 and 31. But the new title is A Threefold Focus. A Threefold Focus. This morning we considered verses 28 and 29 under the title The Imperative of Faith. And we looked at three points: the repetition, the rejoicing, and the reason. And the reason was the main point of the sermon, which is to produce faith, or to work faith, in the disciples of the Lord Jesus. This evening, as we've said, we want to look at this threefold focus. And the outline goes with the title of the message. We have 3 points. Focus on the words of Christ. Focus on the victory of Christ. And focus on the Father of Christ. Focus on the words of Christ, focus on the victory of Christ, and focus on the Father of Christ. So verses 30 to 31, we'll just read those 2 verses. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So first of all, focus on the words of Christ. I get that from the beginning of verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you. This is stated in order to focus their minds on what the Lord was now saying. In other words, he's emphasizing the importance of his words by his departure. Calvin is helpful here. He says, by this word, he intends to fix the attention of the disciples on himself and to impress his doctrine more deeply on their minds. For abundance generally takes away the appetite, and we desire more eagerly what we have not in our possession, and delight more in the enjoyment of that which is speedily to be taken from us. In order, therefore, to make them more desirous of hearing his doctrines, he threatens that he will very soon go away. Although Christ does not cease to teach us during the whole course of our life, yet this statement may be applied to our use. For since the course of our life is short, we ought to embrace the present opportunity, end quote. So the focus on the words of Christ are emphasized by the Lord Jesus saying that he would not talk with them much longer. Paul uses the same sort of language, the same sort of idea over in 2 Timothy 4. Just turn there with me for a moment. 2 Timothy 4. And in 2 Timothy 4, the key verse is verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. So that sort of becomes the center of the wheel, if you like, of this chapter, to really press home the importance of what Paul says at the beginning of the chapter. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in the season, out of season, and so on. And Paul is saying that these are my last words. These are the last words. This is the last instruction. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus is doing in our present text. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. So take to heart the things that I am saying. Peter also uses the same, I was going to say tactic, but the same way of pressing home the importance of his words in 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verses 10 to 15, where he says, he concludes in verse 15, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 15, he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." So he's saying, I'm going to die. So I'm writing these words, verses 10 to 15, you know, make a calling and election sure. I'm writing this in the context of being aware of my own departure, of my own death. So therefore, take these words to heart as the words of a dying man, as the words of a departing man. I think we said last week that we take the words of a dying man or a dying woman, indeed, more seriously than maybe any of their other words during their life. So the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Peter all use this mode of expression and mode of emphasis in order to get the disciples to take heed to these words. So let's focus on the words of Christ. But then secondly, focus on the victory of Christ. Focus on the victory of Christ. Verse 30 again, "For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Wonderful words, aren't they? The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now I notice something in comparing the scripture in John 12 and John 16 with relation to the enemy that the Lord Jesus makes reference to here. Just look, I want to see if you, I just want to show you this. John 12 and verse 27. John 12 and verse 27. The Lord Jesus saying in verse 27, "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, I don't know if you noticed, but back in chapter 14, the victory of Christ had its emphasis in himself. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So Christ himself has victory over the devil. Now two chapters earlier, it's the Father. It's the Father who is the one in heaven who casts out the enemy, the prince of this world. The Father is the one who is sovereign, and he cast out the devil by virtue of the cross of Jesus Christ. So that's the Father in chapter 12, the Son in chapter 14, and now look at chapter 16 and verse 8. John chapter 16 and verse 8. Verses 8 to 11. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And this is in the context of the Holy Spirit coming. So it's interesting, I only noticed that this afternoon in preparation, that we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit directly involved in the victory over the devil. Focus on the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that we have the victory in our God over the enemy? Because We are unable in ourselves to stand against this enemy. But the triune God has had this wonderful victory over the enemy of our souls. But then notice also the powerlessness of the devil with respect to Christ. Back to our text. He has nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The idea we read in another place, do not give the devil a foothold. There was no foothold in Christ for the devil. There was nothing in Christ that the devil could use for advantage. Nothing in Christ was a weakness that the devil could use to overcome him. For us, there's many weaknesses, but there was no weakness in Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, when we read that tremendous gospel text, for God hath made him to be sin for us, the one who, listen, knew no sin. He knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15 says he was without sin. 1 Peter 1 verse 19, he is without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 2 verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And then another wonderful verse, 1 John 3 verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not only the works of the devil, but he destroyed the devil himself, we could say, and go that far. Focus on the victory of Christ. So bringing it back to the broader context, the Lord Jesus, in saying that he is leaving them, that he would not be with them any longer, he's saying, do not think that I'm leaving you like helpless lambs in the face of the wolf. No, I have had victory. Now, here's the wonderful thought. It's not that Christ is saying here, the devil has nothing in you. He does. But that's not our confidence. Our confidence before God is that the devil has nothing, no advantage over Christ. That's our confidence. That's our assurance. We might be encouraged in a secondary way of Christ that has said that the devil, he's delivered the devil from having any advantage over us. But that would be only a secondary comfort. The greatest of all comforts is that the one who is our representative, the one who is our advocate, the one who is our head, the one who is our assurance, this one, the devil has no advantage over. And the opposite is true. Christ has literally destroyed all the works of the devil. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Christ has destroyed him. Again, chapter 12, now the prince of this world will be cast out. He's judged and he is destroyed. Wonderful truth that we see in this gospel. But then thirdly and lastly, focus on the Father. Focus on the Father. Focus on the words of Christ. Focus on the victory of Christ, and now focus on the Father of Christ. John 14:31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now, there's a threefold emphasis here as we close. A threefold emphasis. There is, first of all, the knowledge of the world. The knowledge of the world in relation to the focus on the Father. But that the world may know that I love the Father. So we use Facebook, don't we, to show people, I love this person, I love that person. Well, here Christ says, Christ declares that he wants the world to know that he loves the Father. So Albert Barnes says that it might not be alleged that his virtue had not been subjected to trial. It was subjected. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He passed through the severest forms of temptation. I think I put that quote actually in the wrong place. Yeah, that's actually should have been put in earlier, so my apologies. That's completely out of context. That's for the earlier point, his sinlessness and so on. So you'll have to shift that in your mind. But the knowledge of the world, Christ wanted the world to know that he loved the Father. But then secondly, the second emphasis is on the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So it's the world's relationship to the Father in that sense, or the knowledge of the Father in the first clause. Now it's the direct relationship between the Father and the Son. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The obedience of Christ. So the knowledge of the world regarding his love for the Father, and now his personal obedience to the commandments of God. And then thirdly, the following of the disciples. And I love this. This is a wonderful way to finish. Some commentators have argued about the way this verse is constructed. Should it be constructed in a different way? But I think it's fine. Because it finishes off with this command, if you like, and this word to disciples that really is designed to move them in the direction of the obedience of what Christ is talking about in the previous words. What am I saying? I'm saying this. It's enough for the world to know that Christ loves the Father. But it's not enough for the disciples. We must go with him. We must arise and go with him. We must follow with him in the way of obedience, in the way of love. Yes, he does it so that the world may have a knowledge of this, but he wants his disciples to go with him in the way of obedience. So Calvin says, it appears more probable that Christ intended to exhort the disciples to render the same obedience to God of which they beheld in him so illustrious an example, and not that he led them away at that moment. In other words, he's showing them by the very words in which he's using, you know, I'm doing it. I'm loving the Father. I'm obeying the Father. Now you obey with me. This word arise is a wonderful word, isn't it? It has all the connotations of what it is to be, to leave the deadness of the world. It's a word of resurrection. We have it in Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, or and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Arise, awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Romans 13, verse 11, similar. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We go with Christ in the way of obedience. We go with Christ in the way of God's love. It's not enough for us simply to know what Jesus did. Yes, to know in a saving way for the salvation of our soul, that's one thing. But to know it in a way that we go with him is his desire, that we might live in the good and in the glory of his word. So focus on the words of Christ. Focus on the victory of Christ. And focus on the Father of Christ. The Son loves the Father. Now, we've said many times throughout our studies in John's Gospel that the Father loves the Son. And if we want to be acceptable to the Father, we love the Son, we trust the Son, we obey the Son. Well, the same is true the opposite way around, isn't it? If we want to be accepted and acceptable to Christ, we love his Father. We obey his Father. We go with him in the way of obedience. Well, may God grant to each one of us such a heart and such a desire to follow in the way of Christ. We'll sing together in closing from Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we'll sing the second version. Psalm 100, the second version. O all ye lands unto the Lord, make ye a joyful noise. Serve God with gladness. See, serve God. Him before come with a singing voice. Know ye the Lord, he is God. That's why we serve him, because he is God. Not we, but he has made. We are his people and the sheep within his pasture. But then we have this idea again of going. Enter his gates. Arise, let us go hence. Enter his gates and course with praise to thank him. The Christian life is meant to be one of action. We go in his ways. We walk in his ways. Why? Because verse 5, the Lord our God is good. His mercy faileth never. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of it all. Psalm 100, the second version, will stand to sing and remain standing for closing prayer and the benediction. Let's stand to sing.
Oh, all ye lands unto the Lord, make ye a joyful noise. Serve God with gladness, him before come with a singing voice. Know ye the Lord, that he is God, not
of all our love, all our obedience, all that we can give. And Lord, we acknowledge that it's only our own unfaithfulness, that we are so slow, our deadness to arise. And oh Lord, we pray that we would awake, that we would arise out of the death sleep that so often we find ourselves in. Oh, help us, O God. Enable us to walk in thy ways. Enable us to love thee as Christ has loved thee. Enable us to obey as Christ has obeyed. To focus on the will of God like Christ. How he could say that he delighted to do thy will. May we delight to do the will of God. May it be our meat to do the will of him that sends us. And to finish the work that we have been given by the Father to do in a subordinate sense. Forgive us, O God, for our lack of obedience. Forgive us for our lack of love, our lack of faith. Heal us, O God, from all these things. And grant to us to know the love of God dwelling in our hearts, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Father, help us to focus on the words of Christ, on the victory of Christ, and on his blessed Father. Help us, O God, we pray. Forgive us for every sin. We give thanks for the refreshments that we shall receive. And now the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and sweet communion of the blessed Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.